In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate it very much. A lot going on in the world today, as we all know, and know the election still is not over, despite what some on the left may want you to think, including Joe Biden, who thinks he should be privy to everything going on inside of the White House as we speak, including how vaccines will be handled and the like. And the reality is that's not the case, and nor is he entitled to that at this point in time, despite what everybody else may think on the left. Impossible question of the day. We'll get into more of that, by the way. Impossible question of the day. Nearly 4% of the population is allergic to this. That was yesterday's question. Dr. Julie, by the way, was right. She said dairy. The answer is cheese. 4% of the population is allergic to cheese. I'm glad I'm not one of those. I love cheese. Today's impossible question. 26% of Americans say instead of turkey, they would rather eat this as their main course on Thanksgiving. What is it? 26% of Americans say instead of turkey, they would rather eat this as the main course on Thanksgiving, which, by the way, is a week away. What is it, Charlie? Like prime rib or something, maybe? Well, Charlie says ham. Good answer, Charlie. I'm going to say prime rib. Charlie's going to say ham. Some people just aren't big turkey eaters. I actually like turkey. If it's done correctly, turkey's delicious, but answer that on the KLZ 560 Facebook page, by the way. All right. In other news, I've got several things in store for you. Steve House is going to join us today. We're going to talk about the data on COVID. Steve is an expert when it comes to hospitals and how they're run and what they do and their capacities and how things can change and so on. We'll talk to Steve as we get to that point at the 3:30 mark. Patrick Hedger is going to join us here in just a few minutes. He's Vice President of Policy at TPA. That's the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. We're going to talk about Operation Warp Speed and some of the things that's gone on in the current administration, plus what's going to happen depending upon who wins this election. In the 4 o'clock hour, Bill Higgs is going to join us. How can your company compete and thrive in the holiday season with this current pandemic going on? By the way, that's tough when you're not open for business. I'll talk about that as well. Going to talk about RTD cuts and what Governor Polis said about them and what I think he should have said instead. And then Selwyn Duke's going to join us again in the 4 o'clock hour as well. And we're going to talk about violence, that it's a leftist enterprise. And then 5 o'clock, Kurt Rogers is going to join us as he does each month. We'll talk about mortgages, the asset manager loan, where rates are, what's happening in the mortgage world, what's happening in the housing world, what to expect in case of a presidency change. Interest rates, all of that. We'll get into that at the 5 o'clock mark as well. So that is today's show in a nutshell. There's a rumor going around that I heard that someone mentioned to me that said one of the people that they know is in the Restaurant Association. And according to rumors, and I have not verified this, so I cannot say this is true, but according to this individual, if these shutdowns do happen tomorrow, which it looks like they will, and they continue on any length of time, 85 to 90% of independent restaurants will just close up. They just can't do this any longer. Again, folks, I don't know. I don't have those answers. I do know that shutting things down again, I've had this conversation with many people today. Folks, it doesn't work. Shutting things down, when they claim they know where things are coming from, which, by the way, they don't. They claim that it's coming from places where we gather, churches, work, things like that. The reality is they don't know. It could be coming off of, you know, in certain cases, public transportation. It could be coming out of where you eat. Could be coming out of Costco. Could be coming from the grocery store. We don't know. If they're going to single out areas where we congregate and hang out, which, again, they don't know. They're speculating. And along those lines, Joe sent me something. Our faithful listener, Joe, who's now in New Jersey, sent me this. I'm just going to read this. It's the easiest way to do this. As you may be aware, as the resulted spike in the number of COVID-19 cases in their state, the state of Pennsylvania has announced a statewide quarantine for out-of-state visitors that goes into effect tomorrow. He says, how illogical and ineffective are these new quarantine rules? Let's consider the following. If your state is a hot spot for COVID, why are you restricting inbound travel from states with lower infection rates? Shouldn't other states be restricting outbound travel from your state? Joe, that would be the common sense approach, and government never has that. If quarantines work, instead of restricting inbound travel from non-hotspot states, shouldn't you be restricting intrastate travel by residents of your own state who are more likely to be spreaders of the virus than out-of-state travelers? If you're not going to do the latter, then why would you bother doing the former? The quarantine makes exceptions for out-of-state residents who work in Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania residents who work in another state. So if you live in Camden, New Jersey, and work at the Walmart 15 miles away in Philly, you can travel back and forth on a daily basis, coming into contact with hundreds of Pennsylvanian or New Jersey residents every day. If you're worried about out-of-state residents spreading the infection to residents of your state, isn't this exactly the type of travel you would want to restrict? Testing exception. The rule makes exceptions for people who can produce evidence of a negative COVID test prior or resulting prior 72 hours. So if I had taken a test on Monday, got my results back on Wednesday, I'm okay to travel, shop, and dine in Pennsylvania for the rest of the month as long as I show up in that state by Saturday, 72 hours after a negative test result, but 6 days after the test swab sample was taken, even though I might have come in contact with hundreds of other New Jersey residents in the intervening 6 days. Can someone explain the logic behind that rule? No exceptions for self-isolation. So if my family and I live in Pennsylvania, but have a vacation home in the Delaware, or in Delaware or the Jersey Shore, or plan to go deer hunting in New York State, and we intend to load up the car with groceries to travel to that vacation home or hunting cabin for our Thanksgiving holiday or hunting trip, and will not come into contact with any other out-of-state residents during that time in that state, under the published rules, we must quarantine for 14 days upon our return to Pennsylvania. Again, can someone explain the logic behind this rule? Enforceability, unless you are driving a motor vehicle on a public road or passing through a TSA airport security checkpoint, you cannot be forced to produce identification by a law enforcement officer. So how would the quarantine be enforced? The rule also provides exceptions for people transitioning or transiting through the state, so cars with out-of-state plates cannot be singled out as violating the quarantine. Once an out-of-state driver has entered the state, how will officers determine if shoppers in the local Walmart or diners in a restaurant are quarantine compliant? Joe says, welcome to a world governed by mindless bureaucrats who incorrectly believe we must do something is a mandate to do anything, even though the thing they propose and do are not supported by either science or logic. By the way, Joe, thank you for that. And folks, let me just tell you what. None of what we're doing with COVID across the country and actually in most of the world makes no sense. It's not backed by science, despite what they will tell you. And no, I'm not a selfish bastard for not believing it. I'm a common sense bastard that wants to be proven that I'm wrong. And so far, they haven't. And nothing irritates me more than being told what to do when they don't have anything to back up what they're telling me to do. Furthermore, I have a constitutional right of freedom in this country to move and go where I want, when I want, how I want. They can't stop me from doing so. And folks, it's high time that all of us in this country started telling them, those that think that they're in power, which by the way, they're not, to pound sand, including our own governor, Kevin Polis. Yes, I call him Kevin. Let me explain. A Kevin is the opposite of a Karen. the male counterpart of a Kevin. Last I checked, Jared Polis claims to be a man. I'm not sure he is, but he claims to be, because he doesn't act like one, is my point. So I call him Kevin on purpose because Kevin is the opposite of Karen, and all the Karens do is run around being the nanny of everyone else, making sure you do things correctly. By the way, I despise Karens and Kevins. I have since I was a kid. Nothing is worse than that person that makes sure that you're the rule follower when, by the way, most of the time Kevins and Karens don't follow the rules themselves. They just want to make sure everybody else does. So that's why I call Jared Polis Kevin Polis, is because I feel like he is the opposite of a Karen, therefore a Kevin. Mighty Hand Construction is next, folks, and they will help you with all of your needs around the house, especially in northern Colorado. Needs as in remodel, bathrooms, kitchens, a basement refinish, an outbuilding, an addition, you name it, they can help you. It's Mighty Hand Construction. Find them at klzradio.com or 970-844-9191.
You will get burned looking for the cheapest option. Micah Applegate and his team at Mighty Hand Construction find that a lot of homeowners don't understand the true value of a reliable contractor. Suppose you try to manage your own remodeling project and the guy working on your basement botches the job. Now it's up to you to make him fix it or find someone else to correct his mistakes. You call company after company asking for estimates and no one will call you back. Then once they finally do get back to you, they expect you to do most of the work yourself, including coming up with the actual construction plans. It's like they don't want your money. As a local full-service construction company in northern Colorado, Mighty Hand operates character first, overseeing your entire project from beginning to end. Make sure you hire a contractor who will handle the process for you. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage is next, and Kurt Rogers, will have him on today, by the way, at 5 o'clock. We'll show you how you can do some of those remodel projects and make it work in your budget, and in a lot of cases, not spend any more money. So Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Listen at 5. We'll have a full hour with Kurt. But in the meantime, if you need anything, give them a call today. Again, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Folks, accidents happen, and in a lot of cases, not because of anything you did. I almost had one last night on my way home from somebody pulling into my lane that wasn't looking. Luckily, I was able to slam on the brakes, avoid an accident. But had I been involved in one, it would not have been my fault. The insurance company, though, would have told me, hey, you need to go here to get things fixed. And I would have said, no, I don't. I will go to a good shop. There's two locations in North Glen, one in Commerce City, where they will take care of you and your vehicle. Folks, that's how it works. You do not have to go where the insurance company tells you, no matter whose insurance company it is. So go to a good shop, go to klzradio.com, find them listed there, or call them at 720-541-7697.
You don't want to feel like just a number. Al Sturm, owner of A Good Shop Collision Repair, offers a different experience from the corporate conglomerates. After 40 years in the auto body industry, Al has been hearing the same thing from his customers for decades. Everybody's looking for a good shop. Somewhere you can find quality service in a timely manner without wondering whether or not you're being ripped off. It's hard to know what's going on when nobody will talk to you. Today, as the owner of three locations in North Glen and Commerce City, Al gives his customers exactly what they're looking for. an independent, family-owned collision repair shop where you're more than just a number. At a good shop, not only will the final product be flawless and safe, covered by a good shop lifetime guarantee, but Al and his team will actually take the time to communicate what's going on with your vehicle. Visit klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Patrick Hedger joining us now from TPA. He is actually Vice President of Policy, and TPA is Taxpayers Protection Alliance. Patrick, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I watched or didn't watch all of it, but I listened to a little bit of Joe Biden today talking about how, you know, he needs access to how the vaccines, which we're going to talk about with you, you know, are going to be distributed, this, that, and the other. And, Patrick, I couldn't stop but think for one second that if another administration besides the Trump administration had been in charge, we wouldn't even be talking about passing out vaccines at this point. Am I right?
I think you're totally right about that, because the way Washington works, as usual, happened with the testing and tracing system. The CDC centralized testing, and they fell on their face. Those were career folks, career bureaucrats, the run-of-the-mill Washington people that were trying to centralize the testing response to COVID-19, and that was an abysmal failure. And so what the Trump administration did in classic Trump administration style was take the decision-making out of the hands of Washington bureaucrats and let the private sector compete. And that's why we ended up with the vaccine as quickly as we did.
Yeah, let them compete for the chance to get to market first, doing it, of course, the correct way so that we've got, you know, good success. But, you know, we talked about this yesterday, Patrick. Early on, there were folks out there, including Fauci, that said, hey, I'll be happy if we can get a, you know, 50% success rate out of a vaccine. We're now seeing private companies in warp speed time have a 95-97% success rate.
Yeah, it's incredible. And what's really unique about this approach for this virus, I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but from what I've read, the way that this vaccine works is actually different than previous vaccines for other diseases. And so this is going to open the door to all sorts of new potential treatments and vaccines for the many viruses that are out there that we still do not have a vaccine for, the common cold among them.
Patrick, I think what this really also shows, and I'm a business guy, I still do that outside of what I do here on air, and you know, you and I both know, you can probably attest to this, that when human beings, especially those that are the brightest and smartest among us, are under pressure to get something done on a deadline, it's amazing what the human mind can actually do and perform under that sort of pressure. Now, I'm not saying that not having pressure, we don't have really great results, but it seems to me that if you look back through the course of time and through history, when we're under pressure, we actually typically perform very, very well. Adrenaline is high, and things just happen. And I sort of see what happened here on this, project, you know, Operation Warp Speed, I guess I should say. I sort of see the same thing happening there. There was such pressure to get this thing to market quickly that, to your point a moment ago, we have now found new ways to do things we weren't doing before.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And just, you know, to look back at some other examples of government doing things the opposite way, where there is very little accountability, nobody gets fired, there's no sort of market incentive to do the job right. Think about back to healthcare.gov, where the federal government couldn't build a website to put people on lists. Now, like, it's a simple thing that pretty much any kid in his basement could do these days. And the federal government couldn't even get that done in an effective or cost-effective way, and spent billions of dollars having to redo it. And then again, as I mentioned, the disaster of rolling out a national testing program instead of letting the private sector do that. So thank goodness this most important part of dealing with COVID-19 was predominantly left to the private sector.
And I firmly believe, and I know there's people out there that would most likely argue with me on this, Patrick, but I think I would stand to not be corrected, and I think I would be correct in what I'm saying here, and that would be that without Donald Trump, knowing some of the things that you just mentioned a moment ago about how government works and how we don't want it working in this particular case, and him literally, I believe, pushing through some things that wouldn't have likely happened otherwise, this is why we are where we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, say what you want about the Trump administration, and there's good and bad things, but the good thing was really a change in mindset across administrative agencies and throughout Washington, that we're not going to centralize everything, that we're not going to pass overly prescriptive regulations that tell people how to run their businesses and what they can and can't do. There is this naivete out there among the political establishment that you can still engage in central planning and that you can put a bunch of smart guys in a room and mm-hmm. Guys and gals in a room and they're going to come up with a perfect solution. And that's just not the case. We don't have perfect planners.
Yeah, I want to add something else too, Patrick. I don't hear anybody talking about, and maybe this is something that can get spread around a little more. Donald Trump is also an individual that has been pretty hard on Big Pharma all the way through his administration, including before he ever got there in the first place, talking about how they overcharge for things and things need to be revamped and things need to be handled better and these guys need more transparency, which, by the way, is all true. And yet, at the end of the day, he can still come alongside these guys and say, hey, guys, you know what? Let's put all that aside for right now. We got to get a vaccine out. We got to get things cranked up. And I need your help getting this done. My point, Patrick, is he can do both things at the same time. Most presidents can't do either.
Well, what we see is a broad-based recognition that the real problem with drug costs in the U.S. is really it boils mostly down to the fact that it's very difficult to get a new medical device or a new drug through the FDA. We're talking a 5 to 10 year
True.
Process at best, and that's if you get approved. So to completely turn that on its head was very important. And we're talking about a world-changing vaccine, really a crowning achievement of humanity happening in just under a year. It's tremendous.
It really is. And to your point, yeah, that's a lot of the reasons why the costs are so high is everything you just said. But, we also know, Patrick, there are situations where those guys lobby hard. They get pushed to run patents out for a very, very long time, which, by the way, is great. They get their payback back. But in some cases, it doesn't help us as the end consumer. And Donald Trump my point is he's called him out on some of those things. And yet he's the type of individual. I sort of look at it this way, Patrick, but bear with me here. He's like a mom or a dad. Where mom or dad need to correct the behavior of the child, yet they still love them, they still give them admiration when needed, they still come alongside them and help them when needed, but they will not let them get out of line if they're really a proper parent. I look at Donald Trump as doing the same thing with the drug companies.
Yeah, again, it gets back to the issue of, we don't want to be creating barriers in Washington and sometimes, oftentimes, we see regulatory systems that are put in place that end up boxing out competition
right.
when they're really supposed to be protecting competition. And so to have that skepticism of regulation from the get-go instead of assuming
yep.
that regulation
yes,
is going to
well
create
said.
Good outcomes has been a real difference maker.
Well said. I fully, fully agree with you on that one. Again, we're talking to Patrick Hedger, Vice President of Policy at the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. Shifting gears for a minute, Patrick. I know we don't have a ton of time, but shifting gears. If, Donald Trump does not succeed in all the things that are happening right now to hold on to the White House and Joe Biden does become the president, what do you see happening in the taxpayer, us as taxpayer end of world?
Well, if the Democrats are able to take the Senate, I worry about the Biden tax plan because his taxes, the way he looks at investment, right, taxing corporate income and taxing capital gains at a higher rate, those are taxes on investment. And I don't understand why we treat investment the same way that we're treating cigarettes, right? We raise taxes
right.
on cigarettes because we want fewer people to smoke. So why would we raise taxes on investment? It doesn't make any sense. I'm hoping that the Senate remains in GOP hands, and that's going to create gridlock and should lock in the tax structure that we have now.
And by the way, I am with you. A lot is going to come down to, I've said this all along, while I do want Donald Trump to stay president, I will also say that Patrick, and I've said this many times, I'll keep saying it, what's going on in Georgia right now with the Senate seats, it's imperative that the Republicans hold on to the Senate, or to your point, it's no holds bar on the Democrats' side and what they will do on the tax side and even making things retroactive to where things could even change January 1 of 2021, where typically even when tax things come into play, they're pushed off a year or two. If the Democrats get a hold of both, look out. I think things change January 1.
Yeah, it's very concerning. In any situation, you don't want to raise taxes too high. And you certainly don't want to do it with an economy that's limping along like it is now. The prospect that this religion of just raising taxes, the problem we have in Washington, we've got a spending problem. We don't have a revenue
problem. Yes, that's right. We do. Although, I don't know how we address this, Patrick. We have a huge spending problem. The problem that we have, though, is I do, and my cohort Andy Pate, who's with me on Tuesdays and Fridays, believes the same thing. I do believe we've gotten to a point, Patrick, where I'm not sure any presidential candidate can run on cutting spending as much as you and I would like to see that. I don't know how a president, unless we're in just dire straits as a country financially speaking, which we are, but most people won't recognize it. How do you get a president to win on that strategy in the future?
Yeah, I think it comes down to pointing out what has happened. Over the last year, we've seen an explosion in government spending. A lot of it was wasteful fraud and fraudulent abuses. And the economy is still limping along despite this explosion in spending. And you really just look at the track record of the last decade. We had very, very weak recovery for the most part from the Great Recession. And that was accompanied with all sorts of the Keynesian stimulus spending that we were told was the great savior. Again, it's about, you know, telling people that this government largesse, where is it really going? And, you know, is the average person seeing it? I just don't think they are.
I don't either.
They realize that down the road.
I don't either. That's why there's organizations like what you guys have going on, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, because frankly, Patrick, the average American doesn't have any idea. First of all, we've taught kids, we have stopped teaching kids how to really handle math properly, and that's been a problem now, Patrick, for probably the last 30 plus years. And I am a big believer that we have stopped teaching math because of what you and I are talking about right now.
I tell you what, yeah, you're right. The numbers, millions, billions, and trillions, don't mean anything anymore, and that's really, really dangerous.
It's a problem.
It's a problem. The silver lining is that we have record explosions in spending this year, and I don't think it's making, you know, the difference that Americans expected it to make. I think what we're going to see going forward is Americans say, well, instead of me sending you a check every year and then you giving me some of it back, why don't we just stop at square one and let me keep more of my own money?
Well said. Patrick, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us, and we'll have you on in the future. This is great stuff. I really appreciate it, sir.
Well, thanks for having me.
Patrick Hedger, we appreciate it very much. Up next, we've got Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. He was with me yesterday. And yeah, folks, everybody needs an estate plan. I don't care where you're at on the spectrum. A lot of folks think it's extremely expensive to do an estate plan, and it's not. Michael talked about that yesterday. Call him today at 720-394-6887 or find him at klzradio.com.
Once you die, it's too late. For a variety of reasons, neither KLZ nor Michael Bailey of Michael Bailey Law recommend seances or any other means of attempting to communicate with your deceased loved ones. Yes, you might wish you knew their final wishes, but once they've passed on, it's too late to find out. Your best option is to visit klzradio.com/estate now while you're still alive, because KLZ's mobile estate planner absolutely insists on writing your will before you die.
Barber's Foods is next, folks, and as we head into Thanksgiving, yes, there's still time to pick up some meat, chicken, ham, beef, pork, and, of course, buffalo. That's all available at Barber's Foods. I also need to make mention that if you see something not listed on the website that you're interested in buying, they will most likely be able to get it for you. They can get every single cut of meat you could ever imagine. And don't forget, they've got their great deal on salmon right now. It's just freshly caught this last season, and it is absolutely delicious. I just had it the other night. Get everything you need at barbersfoods.com. And keep in mind, you can pick up or they will deliver to your door. That's barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from, so buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barber'sFoods.com.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
The reliable, affordable, efficient, and responsible energy source, hydrocarbons, directly improves the health and well-being of everyday hardworking people and empowers us to live prosperous, thriving lives. Kim Munson here. Friday, Tom Petrie, oil and gas investment banker, will update us on the latest policies focused on limiting this important resource and pushing America away from energy independence. Plus, Lauren Levy, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, and Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, share their thoughts on current events. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. It's actually beautiful outside. Steve House joining us now as well. Steve, how are you, sir? Welcome.
I am doing very well now that I've recovered.
Nice. Nice. So, can you explain recovered from?
From COVID. I had COVID, probably got it election night, maybe the next day somehow, and got through the process, very mild symptoms for me. I had a fever, no body aches. Came through it pretty simple. Didn't even stop working out, John. I worked out four times during the period of time that I still had a temperature, but I just didn't have that many symptoms.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk about the whole COVID thing. As you know, we're shutting, not we, but the powers that be are looking to shut things down as we speak tomorrow. Most of the metro, I think all of the metro area now will be, no indoor dining, lots of other things going on. It's interesting, Steve, we're just using different words. This really is a, for the most part, lockdown, shutdown. We're just not calling it that.
Yeah, it's modified in some senses, right? Because gyms are still going to be open, although it's a, you know, like 10-person limit, unless you got a variance. I mean, there's all kinds of little things, but it is a lockdown. And I will tell you that what Tri-County Health said on the call with commissioners around the state is, we don't know if this is going to work, but we think it's worth a try.
Like, so in other words, they feel like shutting things down, putting more people out of work is still worth a try?
Well, yeah, to save, you know, some deaths, right? I mean, you know, people don't want to die from this. I mean, if you really look at the total number of infections versus deaths, I mean, the death rate's fallen below 0.14, which is where the flu is. If this is about deaths, right? I mean, a commissioner from Boulder on this call was that, you know, somebody brought up the concept of going to church, right? And,
right.
You know, they're like, look, I don't care about people going to church. People are dying. I'm like, look, there's 30% more suicides. You know, people are dying. Everybody, one person every minute dies from cardiac disease. Why aren't you shutting down the eating of bad food and the lack of exercise, if that's your opinion? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It really is. And I've been fighting, not really fighting, I shouldn't say it that way, Steve, but pointing out to different individuals, be it on Facebook, people texting us here, talking to them even on the show here itself, and getting some of these things across that you just mentioned. And yet we've got, and I guess it's just because of everything that has been pushed via the government and the news media that somehow COVID is much more disastrous than some of the things you just mentioned, but yet it's not.
I know. I mean, you got to put it into context. A lot of things that people don't tell you about is, first of all, there's a lot of repeat tests. If you look at Colorado data, the number of people that have been tested or the number of tests that have been done is more than double the number of people who've been tested. So we've had, you know, it's not quite double, but it's almost double, right? So that means that people have been tested more than once. You know, there was a period of time here where, you know, the CDC said or employers said, you know, you get it, then you have to come back with two negative tests before we'll let you go back to work. Well, there was a lot of people
right.
having test after test after test, right?
But and every one of those goes into it. If, let's just say they got tested three times before the last two were negative. Well, there's three positives, two negatives. We don't even know if the negatives are getting counted.
No, I mean, actually, they're not. You're not seeing anything about how many negative tests are. You're just seeing what the positives are, and there's an assumption that that means that those are cases.
Right.
And, you know, cases to me are when somebody needs treatment, not just when somebody gets a test.
Hey, we've got a lot of people running around, even a younger generation especially, Steve, where, and you're not, you know, you're my age, we're not young anymore, but there's a lot of folks like you that get it that really don't need any kind of medical treatment whatsoever, but yet they're still being counted in that number you just mentioned.
That's right. I mean, I think there's a difference. That's why you see in the hospital data, right? I sent you some hospital data. You know, there's a conversation in there, or at least a number in there that says 47% of all of our ventilators are being used. It doesn't say 47% of our ventilators are being used for COVID.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted somebody that's on that on your side of the fence to actually say that besides me, because, I mean, I, with common sense, looked at that and said, okay, yeah, we got 47% being used. Are they being used because somebody just had a, you know, bypass surgery and they had valves replaced in their heart? I mean, there's all sorts of things that can put you on a vent, not just COVID.
No, it's absolutely true. I think the other thing that people are missing, in fact, to be honest, you know, I just met with an epidemiologist earlier today. He's one of the, he runs the top, you know, testing lab in, federal testing lab in Oklahoma. And he said, we're avoiding vents like the plague. A vent is a death sentence in COVID in most cases. So, you know, that's not even an appropriate measurement. But then you say, okay, doc, what should I be looking at? He said, length of stay. You know, how long are people in the hospital? And the reason why people are in the hospital for 48 hours in a lot of cases is, if you're getting Regeneron, which is an antibody treatment,
okay.
when you get an antibody treatment, it's like getting a transplant. Bad things can happen to your body when that happens. It's working fairly well, but they want you in the hospital for a couple of days. So I've talked to people who ended up in the hospital for 4 days, even though they felt great after 24 hours. It just kept them there for observation.
Well, I think we saw the same thing so even with President Trump. He basically fits the same scenario you just mentioned.
He had that drug exactly. He had Regeneron and Remdesivir, and those are drugs where, quite frankly, they want you in the hospital to get it. The difference between that and a vaccine, John, and I don't think everybody realizes this, is when you're inserting antibodies into the body, it's like an organ transplant in some respects, and
okay.
it can cause, you know, reactions. When you get a vaccine, what the vaccine is doing is a live vaccine is causing your body to create its own antibodies.
Mm.
So obviously that makes it much better for you to have a vaccine than an antibody treatment. The sooner we get these, the sooner these $3,200 dose drugs like Regeneron and Remdesivir go away, and then you get a vaccine that costs $35.
Gotcha. One thing I wanted you to mention too real quick is when it comes to actual, you know, one of the things, because they added this layer, they added this purple layer to, you know, to make sure that we're not overrunning the hospitals. But I want to make sure that we're clear on this. And I wanted to talk about this with you because you can talk about this better than I ever could. And that is, you know, how many ICU beds we have in the state, how many are currently being used. But the one thing, Steve, that never gets mentioned is how quickly can we convert additional beds into ICU beds? Because that never gets mentioned, by the way.
Yeah, and it's not, it shouldn't be mentioned anymore because it's really not a relevant thing to COVID. I think, you know, you know, what is an ICU bed? An ICU bed is nothing more than a bed in a specific location in the hospital where you have
right.
ventilators and respirators and specific sets of equipment. A traditional bed in a hospital becoming an ICU bed doesn't happen, right? I mean, they typically, and this is part of the thing that people need to realize, hospitals fill up all the time.
Yes.
For 37 years, I've been in healthcare. They go on trauma.
Wait, and you're, but Steve, I'm going to stop you for 1 second. Why? Why do they fill up, and is that a good thing?
They fill up because there's, you know, a number of motor vehicle accidents. Maybe there's a bunch of people with the flu. There's a bunch of elective surgeries. I mean, they fill up. Happens all the time. And they what they do is there's around the city, they say, all right, Swedish is now full. Don't send any ambulances there. Send them to Porter instead.
Okay.
They manage it that way. They've been managing it that way for years and years and years.
And let me make sure that I'm hearing you correctly, because we have a, to a large extent, a free market when it comes to hospital care. I'm guessing that part of why we see new hospitals pop up and being built is as the population continues to expand in the metro area and they find the need for more beds, not because of COVID, but just in general, they build more hospitals. Am I thinking correctly?
That is correct. It's a supply-demand thing.
So, in other words, the more demand we have and the more they start to see hospital visits rise and they keep capacity up, which, by the way, means the hospital group is making money, they then go build another one off of the profits they made off of the other hospitals being full. Am I correct?
Yeah, they do. And they build standalone ERs and all kinds of urgent cares and things like that.
So I guess where I'm going with this is, isn't having them to a large extent full a good thing and mean that we're going to continue to have care in those areas? Because I know on the Eastern Plains and other parts of the state where there's not that happening and we don't have full hospitals and the beds are not full, they shut those things down and then there's no care for those individuals. Am I right?
Absolutely. We've had plenty of hospitals close. We had a record number close in 2019 as it was because of the exact scenario you're describing.
So, again, I don't feel like the state is giving the proper information. The media is not giving the proper information. You continue to hear about, well, you know, we can't overload the hospitals. In fact, that's all we've heard now, Steve, for the past 8 months. That's all we've heard. We haven't overloaded them yet, but now we're going into another shutdown.
I know. And quite frankly, we still have a $60,000 a day payment for the convention center where there's 2,000 hospital beds that have never been used yet. And the other thing you don't see, John, is you don't see hospital CEOs on these calls, or you don't see them. You know, maybe they're there in a periphery and I just don't realize it. But to me, I would go to Liz Concordia at CU and say, all right, Liz, how full are you? What happens if we have a 25% increase in the number of hospitalizations from COVID? How would you handle that?
Mm.
She's used to handling that.
Yeah.
They deal with full hospitals. I know Tri-County Health is the controlling authority here, but I'd like for, as a public person in public, I'd like to hear from the hospital CEOs. What do they think?
Well said. I got another question for you, Steve. Hang tight. If you have a question for Steve directly,
sure.
Feel free to call in 303-477-5600. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And make that kitchen the enchanted place of your home. You're already there. You gather. You eat. You do all the things that you need to do as a family and friends and so on. Make it a functional space. 303-376-7588 or find them at klzradio.com.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Franktown Firearms, folks, is the place to go if you need a firearm, ammo, training, you name it. They've got you covered. One-stop shopping. Go to 720-770-7777 or find them on klzradio.com.
Get to the range at Franktown Firearms and get your shooting skills back in shape. You consider yourself an experienced shooter, but you haven't been to the range in a while. Remember, defensive shooting skills are perishable. Firing a gun is not like riding a bike. Unless you practice regularly, don't count on your muscle memory to kick in when you need it. The team at Franktown Firearms believes the only difference between a beginner and an expert is practice. They want to give you the certainty that in a fight or flight scenario, you won't freeze. Imagine your frustration should you find yourself in the situation where you need to defend yourself or others, and you don't react the way you thought you would. Make sure you can count on your instincts. Sign up for a membership now. Mention KLZ Radio for a discount on your initiation fee. Walk-ins and non-members also welcome. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Bruce Simmons, he's our reverse mortgage specialist, folks. And if that's something that you might think or that you think might work for you, give Bruce a call today, and I'll explain all of the ins and outs of reverse mortgages. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free, liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Julie says, "Thank you so much for a great experience and your attention to the details. I was truly impressed with what we got for our money." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve, we have a call coming in now from Carrie. Carrie, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Just to chime in just a bit, I had a heart attack back in August, went to the hospital. 45 minutes to an hour later, they finally started an EKG because the entire ER was filled with patients that were too afraid to go to the doctor, thought they had COVID, and so they flooded the ER. When I got into ICU, didn't need to go into ICU. When I was walking around ICU, not one person in there had COVID.
Interesting.
They tried to put my heart attack under COVID, and I have been fighting with them ever since.
Good for you. Carrie, great story. So, thank you for joining us. I appreciate that. Steve, I know at times I sound really unsensitive to individual needs. Some of that's just my personality. I'm kind of a go-to, you know, let's get it done kind of a guy. And yeah, I can tend to step on toes at times because I don't put a lot of merit in certain things. Steve, I was asking the question, we hear from downline workers, you know, at times how taxing they are. And I just said a moment ago that I'm not always the most sensitive guy out there, and I get that. But what I want to compare this to and what I want to make sure that we put into perspective is, Steve, I can go to any organization all around the world. I can go to General Motors, I can go to IBM, I can go to a local coffee shop and talk to downline workers in most any industry that probably feel overtaxed and don't like the particular way things are run at any given point in time, because that's just the nature of employees sometimes. So I never really put, and maybe I should, but I don't always put a lot of stake in what downline workers are saying, because no offense, sometimes they'll complain about anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about hospitals, you're talking about that lady that, you know, called in about the heart attack, Carrie. You know,
yes.
The problem, somebody dies every minute in the United States from cardiac disease. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's like 600,000 people a year.
Wow.
I don't know why we're not treating that. I mean, when she goes in with a heart attack, COVID ought to be set aside in all ways to treat the heart attack, because it's far more deadly than COVID.
So yes.
What's really happening when that happens? And secondly, you're right. I mean, you know, hospitals, if you've been in the hospital for any reason at all, you know, hospitals at a lot of times are fairly quiet places.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're quiet on the floors, et cetera. When you get a little bit of trauma going, it can be overwhelming for people because they're not used to it. You know, my question in COVID and what she described too was, if everybody goes to an ER because they won't go to their doctor,
right?
Yeah, you're creating a problem, but that's an education problem. We got to fix that.
Right. And again, Steve, I'm trying to be sensitive, but I've also been in the hospital enough times with myself or family members or what have you, and it's like any other aspect of life. Some people love their job. Some people hate their job. Some people complain about everything that's in front of them. Other people handle those challenges with, you know, with kid gloves, and they do very well. My point is this. I think you have to be really careful when we start talking about downline workers and how overwhelmed they might feel in a particular scenario, because the reality is some of those people might complain if there weren't anybody in the hospital.
Well, plus, I think that's a valid point. Plus, hospitals, like any business, right? I mean, let's say that you're changing tires for a living and putting new tires on, and you got four bays, and you staff it for all four bays to be running all the time. You should have enough staff to do that. Hospitals should be staffed,
right,
to take care of a full house as appropriate. Now, if you can't find the staff to deal with a full house and an overflowing ER, it's going to get to be fairly pressured.
Sure. And by the way, the same thing happens in a tire store, and it also happens in a tire store the day it snows.
Of course.
Okay. Always. I mean, some of this is just the way life is, and you could walk into that tire store on the day it snows and probably find half a dozen employees that are going to be gritching and moaning about everything going on because it's snowing out and they're super busy, and they don't particularly like being super busy.
Well, yeah, plus you kind of look at people and you go, okay, so you waited until the day it snows before you did something you should have done a month ago, and you develop a little bit of an edgy attitude at times about people making it your problem that they didn't plan well.
Right.
I get that.
But that, what I always used to tell my guy, Steve, is you can't look at it that way because you're there to service them no matter what. Same thing I would tell a healthcare worker that's whining about somebody that they don't think social distance or didn't wear a mask properly. Not your problem. Get them taken care of.
Right. Solve their problem.
Yeah, and, thank you. I'm not trying to be insensitive, Steve, to those individuals, but I've got family members that are in healthcare, that are nurses, that I can tell you right now will validate everything I just said when it comes to fellow coworkers. And the fact of the matter is, some have really great attitudes, and some have crappy attitudes on any given day.
It's true. I mean, if you're actually someone who works 3 12-hour shifts a week, and all of a sudden you're working five, or you're working doubles because they're understaffed. Yeah, you probably have the right to complain, but if you're not understaffed and you're staffed appropriately, then, you know, you're right. There are just some people who aren't going to be happy.
That's right. Steve, I always appreciate it. Enjoy it, and have a great Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you, my friend. You too.
You betcha. Appreciate it very much. Always good talking to Steve and bring some things in perspective. And by the way, knows the internal workings of hospitals far more than I do. Purefoy Chevrolet is up next, folks. Find that new vehicle or used vehicle on the lot at Purefoy Chevrolet. You can find them online at purefoychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. And after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks. KLZ 560, Rush to Reason. Darwin Award winner and the Liberal Eye of the Week. It is one winner. That would be the state of Colorado and the fact that we're now shutting things down because we're lying to people in doing so. And it's the dumbest thing we could possibly be doing right now, especially for those businesses that will be adversely affected by said shutdown. Don't forget, we replay this hour tonight. If you're listening to our replay hour, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place with family movies. Otherwise, hour number two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.